Hi guys, TransTalk episode 3. I'm Zane Schmoll from Transmoviance and I'm joined with Harold Zamp from Polar.
Thanks Zane, thanks, good to be back. And hopefully we can share some interesting stuff this week.
Yeah, so we're talking about how do you break your week down into the training planner, how that works and how that fits in. Harold will share more with us about that. And I'll be talking about the fact that there's no planned sleepover. For those of you that don't know what that means, last year with the curfew, we had to plan for some teams to sleep over. But this year, we don't have that, and it's back to a normal 24-hour event, which we are extremely excited about. But we'll delve into that a bit more. Harold, yeah, how do we put your week together for training for this thing?
Well, what we've spoken about in a previous episode was obviously the training planner having a recommendation of the number of hours for the week. And it's training is probably the most important factor in any training is consistency. I think everyone's heard that over and over again. Be consistent. And the general recommendation is try and get at least 5 to 6 sessions in a week with one rest day. At least one rest day is good. But a consistent spread of those hours throughout the week is generally what you're aiming for. The other aspect to that, of course, is your long, slow distance session. The one that really builds the endurance, it's at low intensity. It's generally below 70% of max intensity. And that's where you spend a couple of hours out there, really simulating what happens in the race. And that is generally a rule of thumb is at least 1/3 of the weekly training time. So if you, let's say your target for the week is 9 hours, it should be at least 3 hours. It can be more than 3 hours, but should not be less. Mm. So if I were to go and structure my week, personally, I always look at where will my rest day be first. It's always the first thing that I plan, because that is crucially recovery. And we'll talk about that in future episodes, how important recovery is, because it's not just about loading the training, the body in training. It's all about having a balance between the two. So that would be the first session, the rest day in inverted commas, and then your long, slow distance session. For most of us, yeah, it falls on a Saturday or Sunday, wherever we can fit it in to put in those number of hours. And then the rest of the hours are spread throughout the week. And the other thing would, of course, be to consider you might not want to spend all 6 sessions for the week on your bike.
Wanted to ask about that. Yeah.
Maybe do some cross training, maybe a bit of running, walking. We'll talk about the walking part of the Transmoviance for some. And yeah, walking or a run or possibly a swim or even a hike, you know, something like that. Just not to spend every single session during the week on the bike. That would sort of be the general guidelines for the week. And shuffle your week around how you see fit. Any high intensity work you might want to do before rest day. But for most of us, a rest day would either typically be on a Monday or a Friday, or some are lucky enough to have it on a weekend day and really take some time off. But it really looks at your schedule and how you can create consistency with your other commitments in life. And it's all about the consistent approach, yeah, trying to train as often as possible within the guidelines, but to make sure that you're consistent.
Yeah, I think the consistency thing is something so often overlooked. And I find it that if I sit and do not train for more than 3 days, you actually digress. You don't improve on your fitness level anymore. If you sit down longer than 3 days anyway, that's my philosophy. And it's not always, but what I wanted to ask you maybe, Harold, is what constantly happens to, I'm sure a lot of the listeners happens, is you got this training planner, you've set it up and you keep to at it for about 2 weeks or so, and you're consistent and you train and you have your rest days and so on, and then life happens, and then you miss a whole week where you only went out once when you look back at your training calendar. And then the next week you need to fire it up, and then you overdo it again, and then you get injured or you get sick. That's a common mistake.
Yeah, it is quite common, and it can happen. As they say, life happens. And The good thing is that your detraining, and what I mean by detraining is getting unfit, generally takes 7 to 14 days. So it takes a little bit longer. Unfortunately, mentally, we think we're losing fitness a lot quicker. So if you have to miss a week of training, or you maybe possibly got ill, I always just say, just skip the week and keep going. If you miss 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's a little more, then you might have to restructure things and reconsider things. One of the tips that I do give some athletes from time to time, and that's how we highlighted the 12-week plan as possibly the better option to consider, is to start a week earlier to give you a bit of room to play with should you have a business trip coming up and you know it's going to be really difficult. But that said, to maintain consistency, even if it's just a 20-minute, 30-minute session, even of easy walking, for me, that is still training. You're still contributing to the training effect. Maybe not as much as on a typical ride, but you can fit in 20 minutes, something half an hour if you are traveling or you're not feeling up to it, just to keep that consistency going. So there are various strategies around it. And one of the popular ones is to start the training plan 1 week earlier than planned.
Yeah.
So you have this week to play with should you get sick or whatever the case might be. So yeah, that is generally, I mean, plans are plans. They are plans for a reason, and reality is not always quite what the plan lays out. It shouldn't stress you out too much. That's the big thing. Don't let it stress you out. Mm. Try and be as consistent as possible within reason.
Cool. Yeah, so then I want to chat to you guys about the no sleepover side of things. So what we had last year was at Checkpoint 5, Condomo. We set up to you guys, if you didn't make it in time before curfew, to sleep over there. Luckily, we don't do anything of that, and we've got a full 24-hour race. We don't have any curfews at the moment with any COVID lockdown regulations. So the race will start normal with our early start at 5 a.m., which we addressed in the previous episode. And then you will go all the way through the normal checkpoints, all the way through up to checkpoint 5, checkpoint 7, and the finish will be open at the Fountains Mall all the way through to the next morning. And the cutoff will be when the last rider starts, on the Saturday morning, which will be 7 a.m. for the pro athletes. And then our cutoff for 24 hours will be 7 a.m. again at the Fountains Mall. But obviously if you've started earlier and to have a valid 24-hour race, you need to be in under your time that you started. But the official race cutoff will only be 7 a.m. on Sunday morning.
I think there'll be some guys that'll miss that sleepover based on some of the feedback from last year's event. They quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it opened up a new dynamic for some riders. They enjoyed the time off their asses and feet for a couple of hours and then got back onto the bike. But no, we've got a reputation to uphold with the Transpavillons. It's a tough ride. You need to finish it in 24 hours. We can't have tents and people sleeping around. Although I know of quite a few riders that still sleep at checkpoints, take a quick nano power nap there. They work well. Those power naps work well. Oh, cool. Great. Anything else from your side, Errol?
Nothing from my side. It's just keep those sessions consistent and try and do 5 to 6 sessions a week.
There we go.